I would like to welcome you all. It's awesome that you can all be here. I'm inviting you into my lounge room. I'm inviting you into my heart because women do it well. We actually share our hearts when we get the opportunity, heart to heart, each other to each other. This year has been really stressful. And what I love about when we do heart things, I love to be able to hug each other. We haven't been able to do that. It's been, because of COVID, wherever you are in the world, it has been like, you know, I, for my health, for other people's health, have to isolate, have to not be able to hug, have to be able to, you connect sometimes just by phone, by Facebook, FaceTime, but often can't get to meeting the person. And I don't want us to miss out on that because I think especially for women, that is so important. I read something the other day and I went, this is why it is so important. This is a teacher sharing. I had a teacher from America, actually. I had a middle school student who was just coming unraveled in every way today. He walked up to me and said, today just isn't so good. I sighed, looked him in the eye and said, can I give you a 1 minute hug? He shrugged and said, oh, I guess. I said, you have to commit to the whole minute. Can you do that? He said, I guess. A boy doesn't say much, but grunt. So the hug began. At 20 seconds, I always watch the clock. He whispered, why a minute? I whispered back, so my heart can talk to yours. By 30 seconds, his squeeze tightened. By 45 seconds, his head was on my shoulder. Oh my goodness. At 60 seconds, I said to him, you made it. He didn't move. He said, thanks for talking to my heart. He looked me in the eye and half smiled. That's what a hug does. When you don't have the words to share, your hug expresses your heart to them. This boy wasn't sure if he was even interested. But people need connection. So ladies, I'd like you to get out your sticker of hug in a mug. We've welcomed people today. Maybe you're at home by yourself, but maybe you've got a few people that you can, you've invited to be in your lounge room. And I'd like us to get our coffee cups. And if we don't have them, go get a coffee cup. We'll pass some out here, but I'm giving you time to go get a coffee mug. We gave you a list. Please have a mug. And I'm going to give you time because we cannot necessarily hug. Sorry, stuck with the sticker. But we can go chi-ching, instead of cheers, I hug you, and I hug you, and I hug you, because we all need that hug, and especially in this season of our lives, in all the world's lives, we need that hug. So for all of you, don't forget to hug everybody that you have with you today. And if you don't, if you're by yourself, I'm hugging you right now because you are loved by us, by women. You are loved by God. And we've got to remember that. Now, in your packs, you might have a few others that you can share with women, stickers, but we want you to get out your cards because we're going to use, or a piece of paper at home, because we're going to write some things down that are personal to us, but it's like we're going to share our heart with ourselves and with God. We're going to be honest with ourselves. There's prayer cards and bookmarks and other things in there that you can look at later. But I want you to get a blank piece of paper ready and the pen ready, or a journal or whatever you're writing on. Because God might say something to you today and you need to listen. Or not need to listen, but you need to maybe write down for the first time in words on a piece of paper what God might share with you. This word, I felt, has been stirring within me in the last year. And it came to a head probably 3-4 months ago when I went to get my hair done. I have very fine hair that I have to generally wash every day, or if it's a wet, humid day, it goes limp because it grabs all the water. By the end of the day, it looks like it's a grease ball and I haven't washed properly. I try to blow dry my hair upside down to give it more volume because I don't have much hair. You know all the tricks of the trade that ladies do. But it was when the hairdresser started sharing with me different shampoos and conditioners that I could choose to help my hair. And I bought them. Good salesperson. But it struck me because she was saying, well, you need something that is going to give it nutrition. You need something that's going to fortify it and build density and build stamina. Stamina in a hair? Anyway, but then she said, but then you, of course, need the conditioner so it strengthens, and it's an anti-breakage conditioner because my hair does break very, very easily. I have been growing it for years. Look how long it's got. You'd think that's amazing. After 40-something years, it's this long. I meet people. I met a girl the other day. After 6 months, her hair was down to here. I go, what is with this? Just won't grow. It breaks off. It's just fine. But it started making me think, I am building resilience and anti-breakage and strengthening stuff into my hair. We do that with our physical bodies, do we not? Don't we go and, ladies, be honest, we try and exercise, okay? I'm really good for a few months and then I go off the bandwagon and eat not well. Don't worry about it. We can eat well because I've prayed over the food and asked God to not put any calories in it, okay? Sorry, not true. But we try and exercise. We try and build our muscles. As I'm getting older, if I don't build my muscles, you know, if you don't use the muscles, they go flab and you don't look fit and you don't look toned. And it's not even look. You can't bend down. You get down and then you go, great, now they get back up again. We want to look after ourselves physically. So I'm looking after my hair. I'm looking after my body. But then we aren't all just body. We aren't all physical. We're spiritual beings as well. Are we looking after our spirits? Are we strengthening our spirits? Are we fortifying them? Are we putting in stuff that's anti-breakage? Think of 2020. We just looked at different, pictures of how it feels. We all know how it feels. We all do in different aspects. We want to strengthen our spirits. We want to fortify them. We want to be strong. Otherwise, we will break. We will fall apart. We will, and that's not to say we are not perfect, that we don't have some days or some hours when all of that comes upon us, where we feel lonely or feel worried or feel stressed. But we've got to remember who we are in Christ. You know, with food, you've got to put the good input, output. They say, it's not just food in, but it's exercise in or output. So therefore you're balancing it. So therefore you're not putting on the kilos, because it doesn't happen sometimes straight away with our weights. It can happen over 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. And then you go, oh my goodness, what happened? Same with spiritual. It doesn't always mean that we're going to have a breakdown straight away or not cope or think, God, where are you? And you throw in the towel. It can happen over a period of time where it builds up and builds up and builds up. We haven't shared our heart with someone. sharing our heart. You know the hug? It's not just the hug, physical. It's because our spirits get shared. We get encouraged by someone sharing this spirit back with us, saying, I'm with you. I know how it feels. It's okay. Because I have bad days. I call them blubby days because it sounds exactly how you feel, really blubby. But I don't allow myself to stay there because I've built foundations underneath me, within me, to refocus. And then I was so excited because there's a scripture that says exactly this. It's in 1 Timothy 4:8. Write it down. And we've got it on the screen, but you can look it up and write it out more lately if you don't get enough time. Ladies online, write this down because we want to later meditate and ponder about these things. And what does it say? Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is valuable in every way because it promises life both for now, the present, and into the future. God set it up before. It's in the Bible. It's in the scripture. He's saying physical's great, but you've got to have spiritual because you are the body of Christ. You are a body, yes, but Christ lives within us, in our spirits. You know the story of Martha and Mary, which is in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. I read it the other day and I went, whoa, I've seen a whole different aspect about this story. For those of you who don't know the story, I'm going to quickly read it. So it's Luke 10, 38 to 42. Jesus entered a certain village and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But there is need of only one or a few things. Mary has chosen the better portion. Yours is good, but Mary has chosen the better portion, and it will not be taken away from her. When I went to school, I remember my English teacher saying, good, better, best. Good, better, best. So Jesus is saying to Martha, who's in the kitchen serving. So think of this. Serving is a type of our physical, even though it comes from our spiritual, it comes from our hearts. It's a type of physical thing we're doing for people. So what Martha was doing in serving was good. Jesus didn't say it wasn't good. But he said what Mary chose was better. Mary was sitting at his feet, listening to his teaching, loving him, focusing on him. You know when someone talks to you and you're just sitting with them? Do they not feel the love? Do they not feel like, wow, they find what I'm sharing important? And Jesus at that time, because it wasn't far before he was going to go towards his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus at that time needed the love of his followers for him. So it wasn't just Mary sitting and lapping up Jesus. Jesus was wanting his friends, his loved ones to be around him. But Martha's too busy organizing, serving. She's doing it for God. She's doing it for Jesus. Oh, he's coming. I'm going to get this food ready. I'm going to do this. He's saying, that's good, but I would have loved better if you had come and sit with me. Leave the food. Or we can do the food all later. Come and sit with me. But then it made me think, what is the best? Is not the best the balance of serving and loving Jesus, having a relationship with him, picking, I guess, the right time? Because Jesus probably was trying to say, what you're doing right now isn't the right time. The right time right now is to sit with me. There is a time later you do the dishes. Christmas Day, Do you know why I have paper plates or plastic plates? Because only the last so many years have I had a dishwasher. I've been the dishwasher, okay? Which is fine, I'm not complaining. But at Christmas time, I don't want people in the kitchen doing the dishes. I want them to sit around, family, talking, sharing, loving. Because a plastic plate, you can throw away. Whereas another plate, you've got to eventually do it. And so I didn't want to have an excuse of, oh no, we need to help you. I want them just to sit and be. We can do the dishes at midnight later. I can do them tomorrow. I don't care. I want to be with family. And that's the same reason Jesus was annoyed with Martha. And Martha, all she could get was, look at my sister sitting there with Jesus and I'm busy making all this stuff. It was just because of the timing. But we want to be good, better. We want the best. So I started thinking, I want to be fit, fitter, fittest. So what is the fittest? Physically looking after ourselves, but spiritually looking after ourselves. Doing the both, balancing it. Trying to be sensitive enough to the spirit, because the spirit will tell us, don't do the dishes now, go and sit with that person. Don't go and do this, go and be this. Now's the time to serve, get up and serve. Some of us hide behind our serving. I used to. You don't really know me. Back when I was 18, I was very, very, very shy. I wouldn't say boo to anybody. So I would volunteer in the kitchen or the babysitting. One, I loved children. Two, I didn't mind doing dishes or cooking or whatever. But I hid behind the service because then I didn't have to talk to anybody. And one Lent, Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came, and I said stupidly, Holy Spirit, God, what do you want me to give up this Lent? And he said, I want you to give up being shy. And it wasn't instant. It took a long time. It still does now. If I'm going to come into a room and I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable, I'll say, Bruce, you know, we go to a party and don't know anyone. Don't leave my side. Don't leave my side. God said to me, if I'm going to want you to use you to communicate love with people, even if it's just a one-on-one, you need to be able to talk. You need to be able to share. You need to be able to love other than just service. God wants us to go over and beyond, to live not just with our human ability, because he actually gives us power from on high. He gives us spiritual ability. He gives us ability to be the fittest we can. We still have to choose. I still have to choose to go and walk or eat good healthy food, go exercise. But I have to do the same in my spiritual life. I have to choose to pray. I have to choose to spend time and grow in my knowledge of God. And I want to share with you, how do I become, because there's so much online. I look up my thing and it tells me the best health foods to eat and the best exercises to do when you're over 50 and da da da. And I can read all of that. But is there stuff where it tells you the best spiritual exercises to do to stay in touch with you, in your spirit, and with God? And that's what I want to share with you today. But everything becomes interlinked because that's how God works. He doesn't just do one thing. He interlinks our whole lives because he says, I've come to give you life to the full, abundant, oversupply, every area of you. So when people often ask him healing, if you noticed in scriptures, he didn't always just do physical healing. He did the spiritual healing within them because that actually was the most important thing to do. Remember, he would say, your sins are healed. But then later he might say, get up and walk. Because the spiritual inner healing was way more important because it's now and for eternity, whereas our physical is just for now. Because we're all getting new bodies. I've already put in my order. Long, luscious, beautiful hair. So as you drive by, it flows. I don't really care. Because up there, we won't really care what bodies we have. Will be one to one with our God. So number one, you can write this down. To be spiritual, strong, the fittest we can be, we need to be open. Another word used in scripture, used in religious language, is surrender. We need to be open to the action of God, no matter where we are, what we're doing, what's happening in our lives. If we're far from God or close to God, we need to be open. I remember my husband sharing many years ago when he was 13, and a priest came to him and said, "Do you want to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he goes, "What's that? Huh? I don't know." Now, for weeks, he would say, "Nah, sorry." Then there was one week, why? Don't know. The Holy Spirit just did something where he was open and he said, "I don't know if even God is real, but if he is real, I'm open that he would reveal himself to me." And Bruce remembers the date and the time and where that happened. Because when we have an encounter with Christ, we do not forget. But we need to be open. It was July 2019. We're putting on the First Heart Conference in Brisbane. And we often have a 1 day or a 2.5 day event, depending on where we are. And I often invite guest speakers to come in, depending on what topic the talk might be on or the conference might be on for that year. And I invited this couple that I had known for years to do an Ignatian meditation for us, to share about what Ignatian spirituality was about and to share it, to do a meditation. Now, like I said, I have a team of people, a wonderful team of people that help organize all of these. It's not just me. But I've still got things to think. You're thinking, I've got to do that and I've got to do this, whatever. And as Peter, the presenter, was starting to share, and I know a bit about Ignatian spirituality, so I wasn't quite listening to that bit. But when he started doing the meditation, I was where I was sitting, right at the front. I thought, okay, I'm gonna do this. Oh my goodness. I was blown away by God. If I had not been open and gone, no, I'm too busy, I've got to organize this, I've got to make sure the next session's happening, what's going on. If I had not decided I'm going to sit and be with Christ, be with what God had for me right then, I would have missed it. I had been praying for months about different questions, months seeking God, asking him, pestering him, as we are very good at pestering and nagging, saying, "God, I've got this, please answer." And I got no answers. That still didn't stop me asking. And the meditation was on the woman at the well. And Peter had said, because what you do is you put you in the picture. So you're the woman at the well. And so he said, as you're coming down, you're carrying the jar, or shoulder, head, however they used to carry it, and it's empty. And as you're coming around the corner of the building and coming to the well, you stop ahead and you see Jesus. He said, "What's your initial reaction?" Now, Jesus hasn't said anything yet. And I know in the story, the woman at the well didn't even know who Jesus was, so she just kept walking towards the well. But he's saying, what if, as you walked along and you knew it was Jesus, what would Jesus say to you? I was a mess. I had dropped my jar. I had run full pelt to Jesus. I'd hugged him and can't do it. Jumped up on top of him, clinging like a child. And I started weeping and saying, "Jesus, you've come, you've come, you've come. I've been asking for so long and you just haven't been there and you've come." And he answered some of my important questions at that time with the hug. If I had not been open, I would have missed that. I'm asking you to be open wherever you are, in the car, as you're listening to a song, with, grandchildren, with your own children, with your dog, watering the garden, whatever, being open to what God might have to say to you. Because it is so important. And he sees and he knows and he knew I needed it. So there I was. I was a mess. I was the woman sobbing in the front row. I've got to get on next and talk. And I'm the one crying. But it didn't matter. Because being open makes you go, I don't care what people think. Because I've found Jesus. I've had an encounter with him that is so important and so special. And I want to share it with others that they don't miss out. Because you don't want to miss out. It is the most important thing in your entire lives. So it goes on to what number two is, knowing him. How do I know him? You read about him in scripture. You pray to him. You have that conversation. You're honest. How do you know a person? I remember when Bruce and I were dating. What do? You go on dates. So you say, Lord, I've got half an hour. I'm going on a date with you right now. He'll come. When he wasn't answering, or when I felt Jesus wasn't answering my questions, I knew he was still with me. Even if I didn't sense or feel it, I know he's still with me because he says, I am Emmanuel, God with you. And when he leaves to go back to the Father, he says, remember, I am with you to the ends of the age, and I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's given us himself forever. We just have to tap into it. You know, in knowing him, I want to show with you how when you get to know him more, then you get to realize he just loves you to bits, that you're way more honest with him, that you share everything with him because he is just love. If I came over to visit, people come over to visit, what do they sometimes bring? They bring a bunch of flowers, don't they? Because it brightens, I love sunflowers, brightens up your day. Yeah, Emma, that's for you.
Thank you.
But you know when God visits and he brings his bunch of flowers? When God brings his bunch of flowers, he brings his bunch of flowers. Because in Ephesians 3:20, it says this. He can do super abundantly, way more than we can ask or imagine. Don't miss out on this. We'd all love a small bunch of flowers, but don't miss out what God has for us. He has things like this. Because of the filming and the lighting here, I wanted to, you know, in a wedding and you have the little bubble blowing things? That's what we would bring. But I wanted to have this massive bubble machine where there's just bubbles and bubbles and bubbles. But I couldn't because of the lighting and the camera, and because it has this oil, we didn't want it to drop on anything. But think, that's who God is. That's what he has for us. Way more, super abundantly, way more than we could ask or imagine. What God gave me that day, was way above me asking or imagining when he came and shared with me and he gave me that hug and he just loved me. But we got to know that. We've got to learn that. We think about a baby when they start crawling or walking, they've got to learn it. It doesn't come naturally. Sometimes you do have to help children to, you know, get on their knees or to be more stable, or they could be starting to walk, but then they get a bit scared because they fall. You've got to go, no, it's okay, up again. That's what God our Father does for us. And then because the next number three is we have to have a good foundation. And this is in Matthew 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, it will be like a sensible, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall. Think of 2020. Oh, such a stressful year. If we didn't have good foundations in God, we would feel like, oh my goodness, what's the world coming to? Has God lost control? Does he not love us anymore? No. Life is life. We've been told we live on the earth, we're frail human beings that make wrong choices. And somewhere down the track, I don't care if it's from a, it was man-made or it came from bats or whatever. Somewhere down the track, different people have made some wrong choices. Or it's also we live on the earth where there is things that go wrong. It's in scripture. But the foundation of who we are, who we stand on, keeps us strong and firm in knowing God will work good out of it. All things will work, he will work good out of. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan, we follow his plan, all things will work good. Maybe people have realized, and I think they have, people are so important. Loneliness is such an epidemic and we need to care for people. It's on their radar a bit more of, not just caring for health and bugs and viruses, but caring for the individual that has to live in this world. People are in nursing homes. People are isolated. What can we do to love and hug them? So we got to build the basics. So the spiritual exercises that we can do, the first one is number 4, prayer, spending time. If I want to be fit, and even if I don't go to a gym, I've got to take the time to go and exercise. So the same with spiritual exercises, let us spend time with our God. We talk to him and he talk to us. We can have a list of, these are my prayers. Lord, I want this, 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 and then walk away. I've just prayed. Prayers, a two-way conversation, a two-way relationship. I've shared my petitions, but have I honored and glorified God? Have I allowed him to talk back to me? Have I stayed quiet and listened? It's a two-way relationship. So prayer isn't just our petitions, our needs. It's getting to know each other. There are many ways we can oral, verbal, reading, journaling, saying it, set prayers, formal prayers, rosary, so many things that we can do. But this prayer needs to be daily. When the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name, hallowed is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day. We don't do it once a week. We don't do it every second day. Give us this day our daily bread. And to me, a daily bread is my physical sustenance, but my spiritual sustenance. Because remember, God looks after the whole of us. So we need a daily encounter with Jesus. It doesn't mean it has to be a blow over the crying, woman like it was for that day, but it's still a daily time when I can share with him and he can share with me and we can love each other and I can grow in my knowledge and grow in my love. We can write down his names, Prince of Peace, Beautiful, Wonderful Counselor, Savior. Make up your own. He doesn't mind. He knows the English language. Or if you don't have anything, sometimes I just sit there and say, Lord, I've got nothing to say. I just want to be with you. He loves that. I know when Bruce and I were dating, sometimes we ran out of words to say, but you just wanted to be together. Go date God. Read scripture. Put truth into your life. Bruce has a a thing that he's going to share more on, but it's called the ARM method, action reflection method of reading scripture. And when you read it, you ask yourself these five questions. What do I see? What do I think it means? What do I think God is saying to me right now? What am I going to do about it? And what am I going to pray about it? And it's amazing when you nut out something that you read, you see things different. Martha and Mary, I've seen it different at different times. But when I sat down to read it just a few months ago, I saw a different aspect of the physical serving and the spiritual. Something I hadn't seen quite before. Because God has a different, sometimes, truth in his word for you just at the particular point in time where you are. And if you don't read about it, you're not going to know about it. Read lives of the saints. Be inspired by holy men and women, past and present. Meditate and ponder on these things. You know, Mary was the example for us because she was open. She surrendered. She didn't know that day the angel Gabriel was going to come, but she was open. And she said yes straight away. And then it shares about she meditated and pondered on all these things, on the things that happened in her life, on the things that Jesus said, on all the things that God had put in her life. On, I bet she pondered and meditated upon when they had to grab the baby and Joseph said, we've got to get to Egypt because they're going to kill everybody. She would have thought about it, prayed about it. Like, I feel like it's like a something where you tease it out and make it like so you can read it. It's like a scrumpled piece of paper and you've got to open it up to have a read, to know. There's a saint that I love, Padre Pio. He died 1960 something. But, oh, the stuff that he's written, the things that he's said. I bought a book probably last year, and normally I read books very fast and whatever, but some books I haven't even got past the first 10 pages because I read one sentence or one line of what he shares and then I go, oh, whoa, I've got to think about that. I've got to tease it out in my brain. I've got to pray about it because that's just amazing. Now, he was a Capuchin monk who just loved the Lord so much and he wanted to share. So he wrote, he journaled, he was a priest, so he said mass, but he just loved people. And God had given him so many gifts, and maybe we don't get those same gifts, but God gives us our own gifts that we need where we are. And he wants us to use them. So he wants us to develop those gifts. That's part of the spiritual exercises. You know, you might be good at serving, but he also wants you to, how do I serve people even spiritually? You know, we serve people spiritually by sharing our stories, by sharing God within our stories, by saying, even in not forcing God down people's throats, but saying, wow, I prayed for a parking spot and God's just amazing. I get one every time right outside the shop. And people can go, oh, that's just grandma, or that's just so-and-so. They remember. When there's stress and isolation or death or destruction or whatever, who gets the phone call to say, grandma, would you please pray? Because you have this stability, this strength within you that God gives us that people draw upon. And I pray one day they come to you and say, would you pray for me? Would you love me? Would you go to God? And you'll say, yes, I will be. You can too. Because you're always sort of, you can have that relationship too. That's evangelism. I don't have to be standing on the street corner yelling out. I can love my friends, my family, my neighbors, people that I meet at the grocery store, church. So I journal, but Mary didn't necessarily journal, but she reflected, meditated and pondered. She reflected upon these great things in her life. Go spend time with him. Jesus works in us, for us, and causes our hearts to be more inclined to him. But also, I find if I share, I've used to share with people at university my life, just little bits. They might not believe in God, They might reject God, but they cannot reject my story, my testimony of God working in my life. They might go, that's good for you. And I'll just say quietly, you can have that too, you know. And I might just quietly walk away, because it plants a seed. You just do not know what our seeds, our words can do for people. You know, I've often felt like, why do we want to share with people? Because we know with Jesus is the greatest life ever. You know, the good thief on the cross beside Jesus, on his deathbed, he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you don't want to wait till your deathbed, because you've been living your life all by yourself, going through the stress and the strife and the whatever that everybody has. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we don't get it. We don't have it, but we have God who we can tap into to strengthen us, to give us the grace and courage to love, to understand, or not fully understand, but understand a little bit more. Do you want people to go their whole life without that, even though they accept Jesus as Lord? And Jesus will, they'll still welcome him. He said, welcome into my kingdom. But we want people to know him now for ourselves, actually to love themselves, that it makes it easier in life. It makes it better. Jesus within us is amazing. So in that scripture where it's describing the abundance of God, it says God is able. So me started thinking, Lord, I know you're able, but are you willing? Because God can create he created the universe, the planets, the oceans, the sunset, everything. But is he willing to do something that I might ask him? And when I was looking for the scripture of the good foundations, the next lines, my eyes flitted over it, and I felt like, again, I was having a moment with God, because this is what he said. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus came down from the mountain, so he's just talked to everyone about the Beatitudes. Great throngs followed him, and behold, a leper came up to him, and prostrating himself, worshipping him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse me by curing me. Lord, if you are willing, you are able. But are you willing? And the next line, and he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. God is willing to do so many things. But we sometimes think, oh, it's okay for them, but I'm not worthy. I'm not anyone special. I'm not Padre Pio. I'm not, you know, a saint that you might admire. I'm not even, you know, my best friend who's just so amazing. Me, I'm just terrible, because we know ourselves. We know our weaknesses and faults. But God is saying, I am willing always to help you. Maybe I'll let you stay in the mess that you're in for a time, so you can learn and develop and teach. Think about it. These are my water aerobics. I have a very bad shoulder, so I can only, if I ever go to the gym and they say, oh, you do this weights, I can only do one arm. I can't lift this arm up, it'll fall out. I have a reoccurring dislocating shoulder. But then I found water aerobics, and what they have is weights, but when you do it under the water, because I can go up and down this way, it builds resistance. And don't they, I don't know if you've ever done it, but whatever you exercise you do, don't they get you to do it and do it and do it till you're at the point of, oh, I want to throw it in, it's just too hard. Because you're actually trying to tear down the muscle so it can build back up stronger. Sometimes they say do exercise and have, when you first start out, do exercise and have a day's break so you get recovery. And then you can build it up stronger. Same with spiritual exercises. Same with our God. sometimes he might say, well, I am willing and I want to come and help you, but I just stay there a little bit longer because I want to give you strength. I want to strengthen your spiritual muscles. If you never have to go through trouble, how are you going to get stronger when the next trouble comes? And you just know what is say. I walk through the valley of death, because he walks with us. Fear no evil. Jesus wants us to walk and pray. See, I feel like the fittest is the walking, then the praying. So the walking and praying. In Genesis, he walked daily in the garden. Every day he came and walked with Adam and Eve. After the resurrection, he walked with the two people on the road to Emmaus and he shared with them. So he was like doing the exercise, but also doing the spiritual with them. Can we not do both? And it's not physical. Remember, the physical could be serving people. Can we serve and pray together at times, separate at times, but doing it so our whole body becomes healthy? So deep down, we often have questions. You know, I wonder if God will even answer. My fear and doubt sometimes does rise. The struggle is real. 2020 has been a struggle. I can't deny it. But through it, I've seen the benefits that God has placed within me to love more, to care for more. Just like those old people needed to hug the other people, but they can't because the old people's homes is where, you know, the virus goes rampant and so many deaths. But they still needed to be loved. And someone decided, let's make the gloves and the thing. How amazing. What a great idea. Maybe you've got that idea. Maybe you've got an idea to do something for your community. The struggle can be real. But then around the house, what I do to remind myself is I put quotes. If you come to my house, I've got different quotes that I put around the house to remind me. Because when I walk past to the laundry to go and put the washing machine on, I read it. Pray, wait, and trust. Got to remember. Pray, wait, and trust. Because it's the whole of your life that you want Jesus in it. Not just when I'm sitting and praying with him on a specific time. You want that too. But I want him, because he walks with us. He lives within us. So I want us to give us an opportunity right now for us to ask ourselves a few questions. So the first question on the screen that we're going to ask ourselves, if you want to, you can share it with someone, but no one needs to know. What do I do for myself physically? Well, it's two questions, And what do I do for others physically? Now, the physical I'm not talking about, and you could put down quickly, you know, I watch my weight, I go for a walk, whatever. But it's what do I do for myself to even serve myself physically, and what do I do for others? I try to, because I don't sleep very well. I try to, on Saturday mornings, but I couldn't do it this morning, have a sleep in. I need it physically for my body. I'm serving myself. I'm looking after myself. But for others, what can I do? Can we put out some yummy food? Can I go next door and knock on the door and say, hey, you know, I baked a cake. We don't eat much here, but would you like half of it? I don't know. What can I do to physically help somebody else? So let's just give you a minute to answer those questions. Second question, what do I do for myself and others spiritually? Others could be, even in my prayer, I have a list of people that I pray for.
And the third question, do you think you could combine physical and spiritual? We're just going to take some time to pray. Now, in your little notes, we'd like you to write some prayers down, some needs, petition to God, questions you might be asking, thoughts. And at the end, we're going to hold them up for you at home to do the same. We're going to hold them up. We're going to ask our God to come and answer and help us with these needs and prayers and petitions and thoughts, that we would be open. So I'll just give you a minute or so to write down anything else that might come to mind. Might be people's names of your family that you're praying for. God knows our hearts, so you can just put the name down. You don't have to have a whole story there, but it's really good to sometimes write it down. So as we finish, let's finish with our prayer. We know that God is present, but let us ask Him to continue to walk with us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear loving Father, You've been with us today. You've walked with us. You always walk with us. We just don't often see You. We ask You to continue to work in our lives. Give us the grace to be open, to hear You, to see You, to know You. Give us the strength and courage to make time for You. Lord God, You're amazing. Show us how amazing You are so that we can love You more and more, because we have knowledge of You. We truly know You. Help us to love and serve others, so physically and spiritually we are working at that fullness of life that You came to give us. We thank You, Lord, for all things, and we place our lives in Your hands and trust You for the season that You have next for us. Amen. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.